Dr. Kevin Most, sponsored by Northwestern Medicine. The pursuit of better health care starts here. So, Doc, I thought I had, was all better, and then a texter pointed out they've been dealing with this cold from hell for 6 weeks.
Yeah.
Said it comes back after it leaves.
Well, it comes back after it leaves. Often it's a new cold, unfortunately. But, the coughing portion of it can stick around. That's usually going to be the part that's going to be the most frustrating to people. But, again, the body's just trying to protect itself. But usually the aches and pains and fever and all that stuff are gone, and it really just lingers, that lingering cough, which is so aggravating.
I had a weird thing yesterday. I couldn't regulate my temperature. Like, I wasn't running a fever. But I'd be sort of super cold and then like running hot. So I think what is that, menopause?
No. That's Maureen messing with you. She's just changing the thermostat.
Welcome to my world, Steve. It's so fun.
She's telling me I have no real reasons to be concerned. I'm just me.
Yes, exactly.
Okay. All right. So we're clear. Sleep is a huge issue in this country. And this Sleep Awareness Week, or just the week just passed, Sleep Awareness Week, changed to Daylight Savings Time. I want to talk about sleep healthier for a second. Really can't underestimate the importance of sleep, can we?
We can't. And think about it. We do this segment every week, right? Lots of times we're talking about how important exercise is, how important diet is, how important it is to limit your smoking or minimize your smoking or eliminate your smoking. How often do we really talk about sleep? But yet there's been lots of studies over the last 20, 30 years that have shown us the importance of sleep, not only just on how we feel, but on our health day to day.
We get, a lack of sleep on this show because anybody that gets up at 3 or 4 in the morning, it's kind of a goofy time. You don't really get used to that second shift thing. Obviously, it's not a normal 9-to-5 thing, so I don't know if the body ever gets used to that sort of clock.
It really doesn't, unfortunately, and the importance for you guys is you just have to learn how to shift your time, which is not as easily done as said, but the importance of getting a minimum of 6 hours sleep at straight time is very, very important. I mean, if you look at the studies right now, we're looking at the chance of diabetes. If you guys are sleeping 5-6 hours, your chance of diabetes going forward is much higher than an individual who gets 7 hours of sleep, 8 hours of sleep. Same with heart disease. 6 hours, you have a higher, if you don't sleep at least 6 hours, you have a higher incidence and risk for coronary artery disease. And here for you, perfect example is immune function. 7 hours. Those individuals who slept for more than 7 hours versus those who did not sleep more than 7 hours, when exposed to this exact same virus, the individual who slept 7 hours or more had a 3-time protection rate over that virus.
Makes sense, right? Because you're weakening yourself, therefore your immune system would be weaker.
Correct. So you guys are the perfect example. Although I say that, but it's amazing how many people in this country have poor sleeping patterns.
How important are patterns?
How important is it?
Yeah.
It's probably, we sit there and talk about diet and exercise and all that, but the very important sleeping patterns. You can't, your body is not going to get back to normal if you can keep abusing it at night. It's almost like, I really want to quit smoking, but I'm not going to quit smoking. We have to take that same thought process about sleep. You have to say, when am I going to wake up in the morning? What time do I have to be up? Go back. It's simple math. Count back 7-8 hours. That's when you should be going to sleep.
And it should be consistent?
Absolutely should be consistent. Your body gets used to it. You get into the circadian rhythm. Your body gets used to saying, oh, I know what time it is right now. I should be getting drowsy, and it's time to go to sleep. Your body gets used to that as long as you don't do outside stimulation or other things that are going to throw that pattern off.
So is a pattern of 6 hours good enough if you do that all the time?
If you're consistent.
Or is that going to kill brain cells, too?
Well, it's not going to kill brain cells, Vera. But,
that's what I feel like.
Yeah, but you do, right? You feel tired. You feel groggy. So you get those sensations of at least the psychological part of it where you're tired and that. But what you don't understand is all the other stuff that happens, chance of hypertension, chance of a stroke, chance of diabetes, things that we don't feel. So 6 is okay. Less than 6 is terrible. But really, we should be shooting for somewhere between 7 and 8.
All right, so what about nap consistency? Same deal? Like if you really need a nap, should you do it at the same time every day for the same length of time?
No, naps are different. So naps are really, people that really do have bad sleeping patterns, naps are very important. And it's amazing the time that what a nap will do to an individual who has afternoon tiredness or afternoon sleepiness. If you can get a good 20, 30 minute nap, it's also very good, more for your psychology than it is for your health reasons. But you wake up and you feel much more energized and you've kind of have knocked out those cobwebs a little bit. So naps are really important for people because at that time where they really need a nap, they're making bad decisions. They have a higher chance for an injury at work. You know, so a lot of these individuals, a lot of places here are actually looking for something like called a respite room where someone can go and lay down for 20 minutes. And it's very important for productivity as well as a work safety.
Doc Most, what about napping in the car? Would you recommend that? Or
thanks, Joe.
You know, if I lived in Mary's neighborhood, I'd be calling the police like almost every day.
I'm not moving. I'm just sitting in my driveway. There's no harm in that.
That's even more concerning.
Why? Can people overnap? Speaking of napping.
Someone that has a couch or a bed, like 50 feet away.
Oh, but it's so sunny and nice in my car, and it reclines.
And she won't get nagged if she doesn't go in the house.
Exactly. And I have my travel pillow.
Mary just asked an important question. Can you overnap? Is it 20 to 30 the number?
No, yeah, you certainly can overnap. Because what happens when you overnap, then when it's time to go to sleep, your circadian rhythm is thrown up because you're not tired. So if you take a 15, 20, 30-minute nap, okay, that's fine. If that nap extends to 45 minutes, an hour, a little bit over, now you're going to be crunching into the time that you normally should be going to sleep, and your body's going to say, no, I'm rested a little bit already. I don't need to do that, and it pushes it off.
What if you're like me and you've been tired since 1983?
Yeah, and if you really look at your sleep pattern, I probably would hate to see it because, you know, I've gotten, you know, emails from you at, you know, 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock in the morning, so... Mm-hmm. You know, those are the individuals that we really do start to get concerned about, you know, even drowsy driving, things like that, inappropriate comments when you're on the radio. So things, those are what we get concerned about.
The quality of sleep in the mattress and the pillow you use and all that, is that a big deal?
Absolutely huge. You know, you talk about the MyPillow and how great it is, and the consistency of what you're going to use and to find the proper, I'll call it, equipment for you to fall asleep. You know, the environment that you're in, if you don't have a good mattress, you're not going to feel comfortable. If you don't have a pillow that is the consistency of what you feel comfortable with, you're going to be tossing and turning. If your room is too warm, if your room is too cold. So the environment that we fall asleep in is extremely important for us to not only fall asleep, but to continue our sleep.
Much more to come, including your text questions. A bunch of them have already come in at 312-981-7200 on sleep. It's Dr. Kevin Most, sponsored by Northwestern Medicine. The pursuit of better health care starts here.
It's Northwestern Medicine BP. Call Dr. Most right now.
Again, sponsored by Northwestern Medicine, we return with Dr. Most. We're talking about sleep. Doc, we just looked out the window. The river's still green.
Is it real? How long does that last?
That's what I was just wondering, because here's a stupid question. The water keeps moving. Wouldn't the green go out to the lake and go away?
That's what you would think.
I don't know.
I heard a couple days.
Okay.
But it's been a couple days.
It's a lack of sleep.
More sleep questions. Let's go to the listener questions here quickly as well. What happens if you really don't require so much sleep? Because we do know some people require less than others.
Yeah, so people feel that way, right? They say, I don't need that much sleep. I can sleep for 4 hours and I feel fine, which is true. Like I said, there's two parts of sleep. One is how you feel psychologically, how you feel from an activity point of view. The bad thing is that all these other things have been proven to be happening to you, whether it's your increase in gain of weight, whether you have your increased chance of diabetes, heart disease, all of those things are conditions that are going to occur 4, 5, 6, 10 years later. So even though you feel like I can live on 4 hours of sleep, you're really doing detrimental to your body.
Do you recommend weighted blankets to help sleep? This is another textbook question.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. Weighted blankets have really just come on recently here, and some people have that sensation that they feel that need for comfort there, and if they do feel that way and they can sleep then it's great. Other people say, I don't want anything. I want as light as possible. I want a very light comforter. So it really comes down to what's going to allow you to fall asleep and stay asleep. And if that additional weight and pressure around you works, go for it.
Continuous use of Xanax to help you sleep, does that have a long-term effect on your memory?
Yeah, you know, well, on your memory, on a lot of things, you know, we look at those medications and any kind of sleep aids. We try to get people off of those as quickly as possible. The individual who needs that every day probably should need some other interventions or at least some evaluation, because the chemistry is really not going to be the way to continue to convince your body that you need to sleep.
Texter from the 815, what if I have to get up every hour and I have to go pee?
Yeah, and then you probably should have your prostate checked, because there's a good chance there that you have something called BPH, or limit your fluid intake before you go to sleep. Don't drink a gallon of something before you go to sleep, because that's going to happen. Your bladder is going to get to a point where it feels uncomfortable, and it's going to wake you up.
What happens if you go to, this is another texter from the 608, what happens if you go to bed at 9 at night, you expect to sleep till 6, but you wake up every morning at 4?
Well, still, I mean, if you look at that, that's going from 9 till 4, you're getting your 7 hours.
Yeah, that's pretty
good. Yeah, I would say you can go to sleep at 10, you know, and you'll get up at 5. So as long as you're still doing the math, you know, look at the time you got to wake up and back at 7 hours, and that's what you need. If you're going to go to sleep early one night, know that you might wake up early, because your body's going to tell you that.
I like this one text about why women can't over 50 can't sleep.
Because you worry about everything.
Exactly. Or menopausal. Then, well, you know, you wake up constantly with hot flashes. It's a pain in the neck.
That's exactly true, Mary. You know that if you talk, we talk about the temperature of the room, you can control the temperature of the room, but you people, individuals, women who are going through menopause and have these hot flashes, we can't really control the temperature of your body. So although the room might be perfect, you're still going to have those hot flashes, and it's going to wake you up.
Covers come off, covers come on,
yep,
all night long.
847, some people say you can make up sleep on the weekend. I say they're wrong. I do it all the time. What do you think, Doc?
No, they're wrong, and it's been proven to be wrong. So you can't make up all your sleep over 2 days that you've lost over 5 days. The harm that you're doing to your body over those 5 days can't be caught up. You might feel a little bit better, so people take that opportunity to sleep more on the weekends, which is good. But really, you should try to change your pattern during the week so that you get the health benefit of sleep for the entire week.
And again, to reinforce what you said earlier, over-the-counter sleep aids, temporarily probably okay, but they shouldn't be something you use forever.
Yeah, and the difficult thing, too, is, you know, you walk down a Walgreens aisle and you can see there's plenty of products that will help you fall asleep. So one thing I would say is make sure you talk to your doctor about it. People always want to take Benadryl, you know, and that has been shown to be detrimental after a long period of time. Probably one of the worst things you can do is take NyQuil every night. That's a cold medication that just happens to have antihistamines in it as well as some alcohol. So, I mean, I would kind of stay away from those. So be really careful if you find yourself relying on the sleep aids, because you probably don't need them, or you need to be evaluated for other medical conditions like sleep apnea that could be causing your sleep discomfort.
773, I got a 14-month-old and 3-year-old daughters. I'm up with each of them twice a night and up for the day with them around 5:15. Can't remember the last time I slept more than 2 hours in a row in my own bed for a night. Any advice? Yes, you have to put them up for adoption.
Yeah, it is. It's difficult with kids and sleeping patterns with kids until they grow out of it. So it's a little bit hard, but there's actually been studies even shown that children with short sleeping patterns have a tendency to become obese later in childhood. So again, try to get them into an environment where they're going to feel comfortable and that they can sleep longer as well.
By the way, I'm getting crushed. Of course, the river flows away from the lake. There's that little bit of Chicago history that the river's flow is reversed. Remember?
Oh, yes. Uh-huh. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's what, but you would still think a little bit of green would seep into the lake.
Or that it would eventually fade. Apparently, the river's permanently green. We don't have time to do all of sleep apnea justice, but I was diagnosed with sleep apnea before sleep apnea was cool. Now it seems like everybody has it. Symptoms, loud snoring, episodes where you stop breathing. It's not funny. It's not a sitcom joke. It can be very dangerous to your heart. The symptoms are quite obvious. They're not hard to diagnose. You'll be given a sleep test and potentially, depending on the severity of the condition, a thing called a CPAP. And, Doc, you take this very seriously, right?
Absolutely. 25 million people have this. 80% of them are not diagnosed. You know, and the ones that are diagnosed, the compliance with some of the treatment options are very bad or very difficult. So also CPAP. If you look at the old CPAP machines with a big mask and they made this loud noise, it was like, I could never sleep with that anyways. But now that's advanced quite a bit, and we're starting to see other things. There's some surgery options for sleep apnea now. There's some dental appliances. CPAP has gotten much smaller and much more quiet. So know that, because sleep apnea is a dangerous condition, so it really is detrimental to your health when we look at all the things we talked about. But people can die from sleep apnea as well. They get into an irregular heart rhythm, and sometimes their respiratory threshold doesn't tell them to start breathing again, and it's doing damage to their heart.
Great notes as always. We'll post these with Doc's podcast of the segment you've just listened to, or hopefully at least caught part of. Just remember, as Doc writes, keep the temperature cool in the bedroom. Consider a warm bath or shower before bed. It'll relax you. Make sure your bed's comfortable. Antihistamines may help you fall asleep faster, but could negatively impact your sleep. Avoid that. Refrain from caffeinated drinks. Minimize alcohol. Don't drink a bunch of water before you go to bed. No TV immediately at bedtime. No cell phone. No email. Exercise, but well before sleeping, 2 to 3 hours before, and your body will wind down appropriately. All of these notes will be posted. Doc, you've made me very tired.
Go take a nap.
All right, buddy. Thank you.
All right. Talk to you guys soon.
Sponsored by Northwestern Medicine. The pursuit of better healthcare starts here.